This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Andrew Pollack, he's the father of Meadow. And Meadow Pollack was one of the students that lost their life at the hands of Nicholas Cruz in that Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School incident in Parkland, Florida. Andrew, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. This issue has to be difficult to discuss for you, but it's also extremely important, so we appreciate your time here.
Oh, hi, Annie. Nice to have me on again. It's always good to be back. Well, yeah, the Second Amendment is very important to me now more than ever. I never was such an advocate for it, but after seeing what happened to my daughter, I'm a strong supporter of our Second Amendment and no gun zones. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you think about what happened to my daughter, everybody called 911, hundreds of calls from the school, and no one went in to save them. You know, they hid behind cars, one hid behind a wall, they didn't know where to go. So they were left on their own. The two coaches ran in unarmed, they were murdered. So they were waiting for someone to come save them, my daughter, and no one came. So why should anyone now, you know, I'm not saying that police officers aren't going to be there, but we shouldn't have to rely on them to come and save us. Yeah. You know, I'll never give up my gun rights because I would never want something like this to happen again to one of my friends or loved ones, mm-hmm. where we couldn't defend ourselves. So it's very important to me.
I think that when we reflect on the recent anniversary of this tragedy, that this is a story that becomes front and center the instance that another event happens, and then it kind of fades away. Like a lot of times, depending on who the perpetrator was, that might give the story a few extra days of interest in the media. But that's a tragedy in and of itself. After 2 years since this has happened, you've now filed a lawsuit against the federal government, and you want some accountability here. What is it that this lawsuit entails? What are you trying to accomplish with this lawsuit, and what do you think is going to happen?
Well, with all my lawsuits, it's always been about accountability. And what I've learned is the only way to bring change and to get accountability is in the courtroom. So there's a new law trying to get passed now, actually by our last governor, Rick Scott, who's a senator now. It's called TIPS. It's where the FBI needs to, if there's any tips, they need to contact law enforcement locally and give them these tips. So when my daughter, in her instant, when she was murdered, there were tips given to the FBI, and they never followed up. Huh. Same things with the sheriff. So things need to be changed at the FBI in order for this not to happen again. And to bring change, you have to get it in the courtroom with legislation or with or just holding them accountable in court so this doesn't happen again, so they make the necessary changes.
So you're saying the FBI had tips.
And that's what it's about.
The FBI had tips specifically on the Nicholas Cruz who did commit this act. They had knowledge prior to this event.
Two different callers called the FBI and told them that he was going to be a school shooter. One was off an Instagram post, and another one was like a family friend of the family that saw his posts and knew how he was infatuated with guns and that he wanted to be a school shooter. He called up. You know, the day I was burying my daughter, I got a call from the FBI. I was at the temple. And I couldn't even answer the phone. I gave it to one of my good friends to say, hey, look, this is the FBI on the phone. Could you handle this call? He spoke to him. And then later on that day, Andy says, you're not going to believe it, but the FBI had got calls that he was going to shoot the school up, and they never followed up on it.
Oh, my gosh.
One thing I do give credit for the FBI is they're the only entity that accepted any responsibility for its failures. Okay, they accepted it that they failed it, but now we got to force them to make the necessary changes. His mental health caseworkers, they didn't do anything wrong. the school district, they didn't do anything wrong. And the sheriff's department, they didn't do anything wrong. So FBI is the only one that admitted failure, and all the others I'll just in the court, and you know, just from constant work on my part of holding them accountable, we've been getting accountability in Broward and change and making the necessary changes so it doesn't happen again.
Andrew, this is Ryan Wiggins. I heard you mention gun-free zones. What are your thoughts on gun-free zones at places like schools?
Well, they get people killed. That's what they do. You know, they got those coaches killed. Gun-free zones, criminals don't follow laws, okay? It's pretty simple. They're going to go to soft targets. They're going to go to places where, because they're cowards and just mentally sick, most of them, they're going to go to places where they're not going to get shot back, and or chances are less that they will get shot. So they'll go to a school, they'll go to a temple, they'll go to buildings that have that sign on it, no gun zone. And that really gets people killed because criminals don't follow the law. It only affects law-abiding citizens who follow the law. So to me, I oppose it. It got those coaches, one of them was ex-military that got murdered at that school. He could have been carrying. But, you know, gun-free zones don't work. They only work for criminals, and I oppose it.
Andrew, we've got here in Missouri legislators kicking around bills involving allowing teachers to carry. Is that something you would be in favor of then?
Yeah, I actually was responsible for getting a bill passed in Florida that gives teachers the ability to carry while they're on campus. But it's also what people don't understand, but what they don't put in is they go for 140 hours of training in Florida. I don't know what it is in Missouri, but in Florida they're required 140 hours. It's voluntary, and they're held to a higher standard than deputies in marksmanship. And they're really, you know, they're trained on gun retention. And I know as a fact, you know, so he loaded, the killer reloaded 7 times inside the building. It didn't matter. He could have had a musket and killed 17 people. No one was going to stop him. No one went in. But those teachers, the coaches went in unarmed, and he could have been shot at, you know, with those 5 or 7, I forget, times he reloaded, he could have been shot at any time. So I think security's done in layers. You know, every bit helps. And that's just one more layer of protecting our children and teachers.
We're speaking with Andrew Pollack, father of Meadow Pollack, author of Why Meadow Died. And this goes back to the Parkland shooting that was massive national news and deserves to still be front and center in our minds. What do you think about a lot? There's been a lot of activism that has spawned out of this incident. Certainly yours is part of it. You've been invited to the White House. You've met the president. You've worked with the president. But it's on both sides of the aisle. What do you think about all of the conversation that has come out of this event and how it's furthering the important discussion about, you know, gun-free zones in schools or being able to protect people's Second Amendment rights while still trying to stop people like the man who took down all of those kids and adults in that school that day, including your daughter?
Sure. So what I've seen over the last couple of years is when one side just focuses on gun control, okay, and they don't look at the failures, it really is a deflection of what we could get done. Okay, no gun law would have made a difference in Parkland. He passed his background check because he never was arrested, you know, for all the crimes he committed because of these policies in place. You need to be open-minded when it comes to school safety and put the children and teachers first and not debate. You know, if you're going to talk about guns, it's going to be a debate in this country. But I'm past that. You know, it's on the parents. You want your kids safe. There's certain things that you need to look at that can make them safer. And if you're just going to be stuck on gun control, on debating gun control, they didn't get anything done. March for Our Lives, the only thing they got done was collect $18 million, okay, I think, on their tax return. And they kept it in the light, but they didn't accomplish anything. And they're still just pushing gun control, which wouldn't have made any difference in Parkland. What would make a difference is response time. You know, I have this new program out. If listeners, they could go to schoolsafetygrant.org and look what I got on. We're giving grants away for schools and police departments to give them the ability to connect the cameras within 5 to 10 seconds. Things like that, you know, armed guards, arming the teachers, security in the school, more mental health, not those Obama-era leniency policies. If those are in the schools, they hurt kids. Another big thing that parents don't realize in these public schools that they should be looking at is they'll take kids that are special needs. And when you think, Annie, when you think of special needs, you'll think of someone with cerebral palsy, autism, dyslexia. But what they do is they'll take a kid emotionally disturbed and violent, yeah, and they label them special needs, and they put them in the schools also. So it's not really, you know, if I had to put it in a nutshell, it's on the parents. Don't look for the president, your governor, your senator. It's local government that dictates the policies in your local schools.
Andrew, let me ask you this question. I don't know if you heard this news story. You just kind of covered it yesterday. Gavin Newsom is the governor of California, and he has made an effort to not label kids at risk anymore. He wants to label them at promise. I don't even know what that means, but to me, I kind of hear what you're saying here with, you know, if it's behavioral disorder versus a different kind of special needs kid, lumping them all together because you don't want to separate different people for different circumstances. It's inclusive. Do you think that at-risk versus at-promise type of vernacular is detrimental to trying to solve the real problems facing these kids?
Well, also, Gavin Newsom also signed into law a few months ago that it's against the law to suspend disruptive children, if you could believe that. And that exact policy is what led to the Parkland shooter. And I think that these kids that are emotionally disturbed and violent should be labeled differently. They need to be in a different program. And what they're probably doing in California is mainstreaming these kids, but they're not just doing it in California. They mainstream these kids throughout the country. There's thousands of them that are getting mainstream, and they should be put in different classes.
For their own benefit, really. I mean, it's for that child, to help them, not just to keep them out of, you know, other areas,
correct,
but to give them the actual care and concern that they need.
And, you know, so where are the rights of my daughter and the other 90, it's like 99.7% of the students in the school lose all their rights because one emotionally disturbed child is labeled like with the American Disabilities Act. And we all want to help kids, you know, that are nonviolent, that, you know, autistic and, like I said, cerebral palsy. And we all want to mainstream those kids. But the problem with the public schools is they'll label a kid special needs, but he's violent, and then throw in the psychotropic drugs on top of that, and this is why what happens. You get the bullying, you get the school shootings. You don't hear, Banny, when's the last time you heard of a school shooting at a private school?
Yeah. There's something different there. Andrew, thank you so much for giving us this time today. I want to encourage people to check out your book that you've written, Why Meadow Died, and follow you as well on Twitter, at Andrew Pollock, FL. And we will continue to keep up with you. We're watching the activism that you have, and we are supporting you, and we are very grateful for your time today.
Oh, thanks, Annie. Anytime. My pleasure.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again soon. That's Andrew Pollock, father of Meadow Pollock, who died at the hands of Nicholas Cruz in that Parkland High School shooting. We've talked to him, I don't know, maybe a dozen times since this has happened. And it doesn't get easier for me to have that conversation with him, but I can tell he has shifted a bit in what he wants to do about it.
Absolutely.
So I encourage you to go check out his book, and I've posted his Twitter account on our Facebook Live that we have going right now, and you can go follow him. Thank him for coming on the show and sharing his story with us. Let's take a quick break. I can take some phone calls on this issue. Ryan, your wife is a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is a teacher. I've thought about it. My kids are clearly in school. I've thought about it. Let's discuss when we come back. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. He says he's against gun-free zones, specifically in school, because he says gun-free zones killed my daughter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.